哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿，哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿。Elder Voices, a window to the past, a door to the future.
Ay, 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 hey, ay, ay.
My name is Rita Olana. I was born in Wales on April 16, 1941. That was when my parents were at the Reindeer Convention in Wales, but I spent all my life here afterwards. We have asked, yeah, they named me. There's a point across from Teller, Bernhardt's. He was a Norwegian. They owned some shacks, and they had three smokehouses, and his wife's name was Verastja, so they named me after her. He used to have, I think, a lot of smoked fish over there. But my grandpa said he died in the early, maybe 30s, 40s, something like that. My parents were Elmer and Molly C. Todd, and I was the oldest of 11 kids. The next oldest to me was Roger, Edna, Carl, Ellen, Reuben, Elmer C. Todd Jr., Elmer the second, and Walter, Pauline, Arnold, and Delbert. My husband is Henry Olana. We had six sons. The oldest one died, and we had five living ones and then one adopted girl. Henry's dad was a reindeer herder. Henry's father used to say they would herd reindeer from Shishmaref to around here. Between Mary's Igloo and Shishmaref, it would take them days and days to bring them over. They mark them on their ears, tally them. Each person has his own marked reindeer for his father, say, to own for their pay. Several reindeers each month as a payment for herding. That's how they got their reindeers. And then I remember when I was little, they used to graze lots of reindeer and graze over here behind the cemetery. There used to be Lohman Brothers that would package and process the meat in Teller. And then after there were so many, they overgrazed land around Brevik, they disappeared. There's Mary's Igloo. They would using their reindeer for racing. They put them in harness, and the ladies would race and harness them to the sled and have races. They'd be like horses. They trained some of their reindeer to pull sleds because they kind of maybe go fast with their trot. I think when we were growing up, some of them never had too many dogs because it would take them a lot of dog food to feed them, I guess. One of the families in Brevik had only three dogs all the time. 5 dogs, 3 dogs, 8 dogs, less than 20 all the time. Henry used to have dogs all the time. We've been married, we had dogs. Right now, people always give us their leftovers or dried fish. When it's rainy, they get stink. If we cover them, they stink. And if we don't cover them, they get stink. No matter how you look at trying to preserve them, it won't work. A lot of the times when we try to put away fish, if they're not dried on time before the rain comes, then they're all good for dogs. My grandpa used to say in late 1800s, the first reindeer were brought to this place. It was called Teller Mission. And then these Laplanders that took care of the reindeer didn't want to go without a pastor. So here comes Brevik, the Norwegian Lutheran pastor that was there for them. And from there, he taught the natives Christianity. He was, I think, trained in to be as a pastor. His name was T.L. Brevik. He learned how to talk Eskimo, and then Brevik in turn taught them how to speak English. They heard about this man, people from Wales. After Christianity came, they brought their young people or young adults to have them baptized here. My grandpa's stories were something like that. I used to listen to him talk about them. When I was growing up, it seems like the weather wasn't like that. We would have long stretches of beautiful sunshine, calm weather, and it was just so good to be, I think, alive. The air was just like so clean, the land was so clean, but the years when I was 14, my dad was working in Lasterbury. It was a tin mine. We stayed there maybe for 6 years or so, and then we moved back. It's now closed down, that mine over there. It was a frame house, wooden house, and it used to be where, just north of the telephone building across there. It's all long gone, it rotted. Plumbing, we just got it in 5 years. It is so cool. Carrying in snow, ice to melt for water, sawing the logs to chop wood. We had a lot of things to do. Wash dishes, help our mothers and fathers. My dad used to go down the coast. We collect the firewood all over, either by donkey or by boat before winter sets in. Run out of firewood, we would start getting it with donkey down the coast. When I was a teenager, I used to help get firewood with my Aunt Clara. And I remember the first time we ever bought a stove, it was only $17.50. It was really cheap compared to prices nowadays. The first airfare I paid was $17.50 also from Brevik to Nome. I was small, but they used to have those red ones, you know, gawings they call them, and they used to land on the ice. I barely remember those planes, first ones, because I was too young, I guess, but I remember all the people went down to the ice to see it. we would enjoy on weekends if we were lucky to get those black and white films. And then we would pay only 25 cents to watch them, but those were our entertainment. We had to go to color to go to store. No store here. Sometimes when it was really nice, us teenagers would walk to color. It would take us 2 hours to go there. You know, they was homemade skates. Some of those boys, they would make them with a steel blade on the bottom, and then they make a little blade for the bottom. They would put it on a piece of wood and then make ties to make skates. I never learned to skate. And some of them would, if they were lucky, use skis in the later years, you know, when skis were brought into school. They would make one-runner sleds and then put a little plywood for a one-runner and use wire to make it curve on the front to the seat and then slip all the way down. They used when they had no coasters. Sometimes they just used paper, cardboard, anything they can think of to make a sled to toboggan. Families, even the adults, would gather in one house to play jacks. Lots of jacks, maybe like 20, and they would play partners. They would try to get how many times you could pat on the floor with each game you finished, and sometimes they would take about 20 until they couldn't catch the ball anymore. We used to get them at Christmas through the church. We would play hopscotch, we would play marbles. Marbles are disappearing now. We would play like football, soccer ball, and mana mana, we call it, you know, with two big circles. We would try to get into this other circle to win with no one tagging us. If we got tagged, we would go to a little corner like a jail. They call it a jail, and then the person from over there would try to go get them without being caught, you know, tagged, and that's what we call mana mana. Even the adults would play that too. Christmas time, each family would get a big sack of peanuts, apples, and they would get a quilt. We were happy with what we had. In the holidays, in that old one-room school, people would put a lot of cardboards or canvas and sit on the floor, and no tables, no chairs, just get together and brought over what they had. Enjoy berry picking. We will share lots on Thanksgiving and on Christmas feast. You can get to other places easy from here. I used to walk along the tundra all over blueberries or salmon berries. When we had no four-wheelers, and we would walk over the mountains for sourdoughs. Long walk. I remember they used to call this place Sitesak. My grandpa's Eskimo name was Sitesak, and creek over there is Kingak, and then those lakes are Pitaros. And our mountains, we call them Kawangat. The elders always tell me I would maybe someday be a leader in my community, and they would talk to me. I was 19 years old, and they let me take census. Everybody that was living here, I had to write them down, their names, their families, who they belonged to, the children. And I counted only 80 people when I was 19 years old. And now we have a population of 300, maybe 62. We have people from other places that come here, or they find work and then they just move here. We didn't have that many teachers to begin with. We always go into one-room classrooms. We were 50 children. I was going to graduate from eighth grade, 50 in the classroom. People think I had gone to high school the way I taught, but I said, no, I learned more from that one teacher where there were a lot of students. I took GED and passed it in 1988. That's how I tried to get more educated, so I could pass on things that needed to be passed on to the elders. The elders that were there always tell me I got to translate for them if they can't understand what this person is talking about. So that's how come I try to learn everything. If I couldn't understand the word, if somebody was at a meeting, I said, define the word in simple terms. Sometimes people would be kind of flabbergasted, I guess. Like when we were getting a state school after we were BIA, there were four men that came here to hold a meeting that we were going to turn into a state school. And this man used the word prospectus. I said, define the word prospectus in simple terms. How can we understand the word prospectus so I can tell the elders what it is? These four men said, you do it, and then you do it. They didn't even define the word. They just kind of got embarrassed using big words, I think. So I said, I'll look it up myself in the dictionary and see what it is. Nowadays, some young people, like my brother, will tell me what it means, and then I can in turn translate it to the elders. But that's how I learned my education, through dictionaries a lot of time. We had no reading material even when we were growing up. A lot of times I read the Bible. We had only Dick, Jane, and Sally books, the basic addition, subtraction. We didn't even go into these algebra, and I couldn't understand those words when I was taking my GED algebra. Signs instead of words. Some high schoolers now are not even reading the way they should. I think we learned a lot using those Dick, Jane, and Sally books to start with, because some of these are slow readers. See, I worked in school when I was in my early 20s, and I retired in 1996. I worked 27 years in the school, and I worked among the children. I noticed that the later years, when we started to have high schools, you know, local schools, they weren't reading as well as we did. I think teachers expected them to be where they were supposed to be at a grade level, but they were behind. When I try to do homework with my grandchildren, when they get lessons, even the simple ones I used to know in my school, it's hard for them. I always try to tell my young people that they got to go to school, have higher education, try to learn about things that will help us to benefit our community and to better our services we always need in the community. I told them they got to have education to be leaders, education to run the community, everything that needs to be taken care of if we pass on. to buy is really expensive. Really expensive nowadays. Just live, just to survive, unless they learn their own tradition to live off the land like us. I keep harping on these young people that they have to do this. If I said we had to work hard, they'll just answer me like this. That was long ago. We don't have to live like you guys did nowadays. I said, pretty soon you will get to be adults and then you will wake up. What I said was true when I say you got to do things right now. Respect their elders or listen to them and just carry on what we should do as a community. It's hard to tell young people now. My mother didn't like Henry, so we just got married without my mother, but with my father. April 9, 1962. Then we grew up together, I guess. He always said, I go after him. Because my parents were dysfunctional, too, when I was growing up, you know, drinking. Try to have peace within my home, live in harmony with each other. I tried to tell my brothers and sisters, let's not live like that when we become of age. I think a lot of times these material things don't mean nothing to me, but I got so much material in my house. My kids say, I need to get rid of it. No more Sears catalog. I learned sewing by myself mostly. Learning from mistakes, mostly from my grandmother. My mom never really taught me to sew. She was too busy with 11 kids, and most of them I learned to make parkas from Henry's mom. She's not living anymore. Tuscany lambskin, we call them, those skins. They're really warm, but they're expensive. We used to use squirrel skins. When I was growing up, some would use rabbit articare, but they're no good for eyes. That's what my grandma said. Maybe that's how my aunt has got a cataract from the fur. Most of the time I sew slippers and I knit, and sometimes I make muckluck hats. I'm cutting out these patterns for my granddaughter to read. I was dreaming I saw an ornament like that, and I told her, I'm going to make you a pattern that just the way I dream I saw an ornament. I take a lot of orders. First, we find an ubruk skin that will be used for the bottom. Then you scrape the fur off. We crimp them to make the bottoms. This is a bleached young ubruk.
In black, we scrape the bottom.
If we had a fur seal like this, we scrape the fur off, then we get them all ready. to work on the top part, we either make them out of caribou skins or seal skin, and then we put another piece of dyed seal skin for the trim. They want beads or on top, then we use them for decoration, or they want them fancy. And that's how we make mukluks. We have to scrape the caribou skins also with a tool we call iguta, or we use a scraper that both hands against a plank to make it soft. We sew the top part to the bottom. It's got to be a little bit wet so it could be easy to put the needle through. I use the dental floss, and if I can't thread a needle with the dental floss, I use the sinew to make my thread go through. I still use it to help me sew for the top and the around the trim. Whale sinew, it's strong. Along the backbone of animals, there's those muscles like tendons. We pull them out and use them for thread. We never saw threads or dental floss when we were growing up, so we use those. The bottoms we call natikshak, and the top part we call imiksha kamnu. The fancy ones we call kubak. We just create them in our heads and make them. My granddaughters, they love to make these star kind, and me, I will do something different. I try to push them into so they could learn how. You just need to get the right beads and right colors. Christianity, my grandpa instilled it in me, I guess. He said we have to learn to have respect for everything on the earth. He taught us that if you have like anger, resentment, or something that's not good in our hearts, then forgiveness is hard to come by. You have to learn how to have positive outlook on life. It's good to laugh often, to have a sense of humor. I think spirituality is something we should all strive for, to have human bonding with each other so we could live in harmony with each other. That's how I look at life. I think if you don't have spirituality, you have negative things. I like to talk about wellness. Love, to be happy, good lifestyle, good healthy choices. To have wellness, I think it means to be, you have to have peace in your heart or have good outlook on life. Try to make things easier for your family. They have problems, try to talk things over and help them. Just try to keep them occupied in something that's worthwhile, not negative.
You've been listening to Elder Voices, a production of KNOM.